The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. Later on in the program, Julian Laurent will be joining us to give the latest on that Paul Pogba injury. But we kick things off with everybody's best friend, VAR, which of course dominated the headlines this weekend as there were quite a few controversial calls in the Premier League. Here to help us dissect whether or not the officials got it right or wrong, Mario Malkiot's with us. He's not going to help much. Mark's not going to help much either. Mark Clattenburg is with us as well.
Pick a bad duel.
Okay, let's start off with a big one, Mark, the one that everyone seems to have an opinion on. That is, of course, the West Ham goal that was chalked off late, initially given by the referee, but the VAR official suggested he went to the monitor to check whether or not Mendy was fouled in the build-up. What's your take on it?
I think once the referee on the field of play doesn't give a foul, for me, this is where it stays. There might be a small contact. Is he trying to avoid the goalkeeper? There is a contact. Football's a contact sport. I don't think it's enough. I think the play should carry on and the VAR shouldn't interfere. So West Ham can feel hard done to that this goal was disallowed. And all of a sudden, after the comical VAR incidents this weekend, we're now chalking off goals where we always want to see goals.
Shaka?
I disagree. I honestly think that Bowen doesn't... Not that he has to make an effort to avoid Mendy, but I think the way his left leg trails is unnatural. I'm not asking him to do anything extraordinary. I'm just asking him to do what comes natural to the running motion. The way that left leg drags for me, it looks unnatural, and having been on the wrong end of far too many of those where players just leave a little leg trailing just to catch you, just leave a little bit on you, I'm sorry. I'm with Mendy on this. That's a foul. And even though I still think Mendy went to parry, and but for Bowen would have fallen to Cornet and he probably would have scored just the same way, it's a foul. And as a result, that wanting to leave a little bit on the goalkeeper late on in a game has cost West Ham.
Mark?
No, I think that's a goalkeeper union. I think, you know, the goalkeeper came sliding out. It's a 50-50 ball. Bowen tries to leave his leg there. Yeah, there's a small contact. Mendy makes the most of it. He stays down. The ball's loose. Mendy wouldn't have got anywhere near it anyways. I think he stays down realising that the ball's loose. It's going to be a goal. And I think once the referee plays on, for me, there's not enough of a foul. There's, you know, a small contact that should be played on. If the referee whistles a foul, okay, we can, the VAR can look at it and support the referee's decision. But for me, once the referee plays on, he's on the pitch, he's not in a cold office in Stockley Park, and therefore, for me, the VAR shouldn't interfere.
Mario?
You know, look, I don't like being on Mark's side, but on this one, I got to give him that one, you know, because we had enough interactions while I was playing. But I feel like he's right. Look, when you go down and he what Saka says, yeah, he leaves his foot on it. But I don't think, be honest, in a normal game, the time that we were playing, Saka, you know, this is nothing. This is small stuff. This is tiny. Come on, where we come from. And I heard they want to make it a more... context were more allowed. So in this moment, I clearly say, and coming from me, yes, I think Chelsea's lucky in this situation.
You know, I played 45 minutes in goal. Does that mean I'm the goalies union? Just before I tell you what I think. Because Jared Bowen, they should be pointing the finger at Jared Bowen. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me how he manages to get his right leg over the goalkeeper, but yet doesn't lift his left leg and absolutely trails it to catch the goalkeeper? it's a free kick for stupidity. And the fact is, he's caught the goalkeeper with his left foot. So it's a foul. I don't understand why there's such controversy. And as I said, if I'm David Moyes, I'm on the world with Jared Bowen. You can get one leg over the goalkeeper, but you can't lift the
there
other
one.
There
is evidence, actually, that his first leg hit the goalkeeper as well.
But, hold on. Let me just... I think what Mario said there kind of sums it up. Back in Italy, this was fine. Everybody did.
Yeah,
and as I said...
Yes.
I said I've been on the wrong end of far too many of these.
Mario's a lot younger than you.
Is he?
Well, we played against each other.
I think Mario and I are I will attest.
Hey, Lisa, my brother, black don't crack. Don't worry about it.
But to that point, as I was saying, back in the day I was playing, and I have been on the wrong end. I have sat in dressing rooms where I've heard players say exactly the same. I left a little bit on him. You're 2-1 down, inching towards injury time. That is exactly what Bowen is going for. And it come back to cost him. And just because it was done, it was accepted, just because I'm not much worse the way for it, doesn't mean that it was right then. And not right, and it doesn't mean that it's right now.
So here, Mario, ask this question to Don. So Mario, you and I go for a ball. I get there before you, and after I've played the ball, you catch me. Is that a foul?
Oh yeah, of course, because
well, there you go. So what's the difference?
Yeah, but that's
the difference
what
with
I said.
What's the difference with catching the goalie then?
I said in our time. This was never going to be. But now we got that video stuff, all that VAR stuff. If we didn't have that, we would have never called this a foul. Even in your time, Steve. Come on now. You wouldn't have called it a foul. But now, because we have that going on, yes.
I'm not disagreeing with that statement. The problem is, today they do call it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is he caught the goalkeeper. And you can't argue that there's contact on the goalkeeper. And people can come up with this nonsense, well, he caught him, but it wasn't really that hard and he should be okay. Listen, if you catch your opponent, it's a foul.
This is something that really has divided everyone. Everyone seems to have an opinion as to whether or not it was a foul. The next one, I think you'd struggle to find anybody who thought that this was the right decision, apart from whoever was operating VAR at the time, Mark. This is an incredible sequence of events that they just get completely wrong.
But the problem here, Dan, the VAR, the referees give the goal. However, the VAR was right to initially tell the referee to go to the video screen. And what he failed to do, because you can't give the goal because there's a foul on the goalkeeper. But what they don't show is the foul that led in to Willock going into the goalkeeper. And that's what it should have been. It should have been initial foul and therefore a penalty kick. Because you can't play the advantage after Willock's been fouled because the goalkeeper's then been fouled before the goal is scored. So what should have happened in this situation is the VAR failed to show the referee on the pitch the Willock push, which made his momentum into the goalkeeper, which would have then give the penalty, and that's what the final outcome should have been.
Mark, just to clarify, because obviously my question to you first is going to be, why couldn't they just play the advantage and give the goal? Just explain in layman's terms why not a little clearer.
You cannot play an advantage after there's been a foul on the goalkeeper. What you have to do is take the original decision. The original decision, there was a foul on, a push on Willock. That then push led to a foul on the goalkeeper. So therefore, you can't play the advantage and give the goal because there was a foul on the goalkeeper. But the VARs failed to show the referee why Willock eventually went into the goalkeeper because there was a push, and that's why it should have been a penalty kick.
How can somebody watching that in Stockley Park come to that decision and not help the referee, Mark?
Because what I think he failed to do was check all the angles, because the angle he gave the referee on the pitch, it doesn't look a push. It was only on the reverse angle, which is probably what the assistant referee saw. You can clearly see he got a clear push, which then sent his momentum into the goalkeeper. So therefore, he should have initially said, look, there is a foul on the goalkeeper. You can't give the goal. However, I'm going to show you that there's a penalty kick, and clearly showed him the push.
I don't think we can even get a discussion on this, is it? Because it's just it's so clear.
In fairness, and I'm not sure I'll say this too many times, I thought the explanation there by Mark was absolutely spot on.
Was that a compliment?
Well, why would you say he doesn't need that?
No, I'm just saying. When I was watching the game, I was thinking, well, that's either a goal or at the very least, it's got to be a penalty.
Right.
I couldn't see how it was overturned. But hearing that explanation from Mark about you cannot play the advantage when there's a foul on a goalkeeper, even as a goalkeeper, I did not know that. So I'm just saying.
I didn't.
Suck it. All right. Meanwhile, in the game at Old Trafford between Manchester United and Arsenal, Martinelli, of course, thought that he'd open the scoring for Arteta's side. Brilliant goal from him. However, VAR would obviously take it back and take a look at the challenge on Eriksen, wasn't it, from Odegaard? Yeah. Now, what do you make of this, Mark?
I thought, when I watched this live, I just thought this is a foul. And I expected Paul Tierney to give the decision on the pitch. And this is where I think people are getting confused. There is a small foul. I think the referee should have just blown. But the problem, I believe, now with Premier League referees is, and this is something that the PGM World came out at the start of the season and they said, that we're going to allow more physical contact. We're going to let the game flow more, which is now causing the problems that the referees are not whistling fouls in midfield, which they would have done in the past, which is now leading to VAR getting involved 10, 15 seconds later to a decision which is correct. There is a foul, on Christian Eriksen, an easy foul for the referee to give. But once he's played on, he's then given himself a problem because he's now going to have to disallow a goal, which is a controversial moment. If he gives the foul in midfield, nobody would have argued.
Why doesn't he give it? Because he's got this cushion, Mark? Is that what it is? Is that what you think?
I think PGMOL have confused the referees. And I think at the start of the season, they made a statement to all the clubs, we're going to allow more physical contact, we're going to allow players to challenge for the ball. And therefore, now referees are letting more physical contact. And now there is an argument. Is there a foul? Is there not? Is there a foul? And this is what's causing the confusion. Paul Tierney's confused. He would have whistled that every match in these previous games. And it's an easy one to give on the halfway line because there's no controversial moment. Man United get the free kick and nobody will complain. But because it leads direct to a goal, now it's a controversial moment.
You wouldn't swap it though, would you? You wouldn't swap the controversy of this goal back to referees blowing the whistle for any sort of little touch.
But referees should be experienced enough to see that's a foul and not scared to blow their whistle just in case they get it wrong.
But because there's a little bit of grey... with a little bit of a grey area.
What's the grey area? He's fouled him. Everyone says that he's fouled him.
Matt's just told us they were told not to blow every time there's any sort of contact. And what I'm saying is, would you not rather the games are refereed the way they are with some challenges where in previous years the game would be stopped every 2 seconds for a silly little foul? It's just sometimes we're going to have to swallow it that...
I don't know why it has to be those two extremes. Why can't we have somewhere in the middle where a referee's competent enough when he's 8 yards away that he can actually make that decision?
It's not a perfect world. You know, the reason we've got VAR is because humans make mistakes. And even though the thing's been pulled in with a VAR, there's still going to be mistakes. But surely you would rather watch a game the way it's refereed today and suffer the consequences now and again for what happened at Old Trafford. I certainly would.
I have no problem with more physicality being allowed in the game. I like it a lot. So I understand that referees aren't calling things this season that they would have last or the season before. I have no problem with that. On first look, albeit I'm watching on television with the angle that's afforded to us, not the same as the referee on the park, I didn't think it was a foul. My initial instinct was that this was not a foul. Good Arsenal goal. It's only when you see the replays, then yes, you recognise the foul. So for me, that was a good and correct usage of both the advantage and VAR.
Mario?
Yeah, I agree with what Chaka just said. You know why? Because I feel like the only thing is, for me, it's that what you guys talked about. I don't want to drag on to it, but it's more like, why does it take so long for the ref just to blow the whistle? You know, I would have hated it. You know, for let the game play on. You don't need to do that. Just blow the whistle, man. You know, like, at the end of the day, you know, the game's been played. You're in charge. Show us that you are in charge. Because the moment we feel you're not, then we talk a lot more back to you. So just do it.
Meanwhile, let's take it back to the Merseyside derby, shall we? Liverpool taking on Everton, of course, in that goalless draw. 15 minutes to go in the game. Van Dijk with a challenge here. He was given a yellow, Mark. Should it have been a red?
Yeah, I think for me this is a red card. I think the ball's not in plain distance. He's over the top of the ball. Look, the ball's not even there. He puts his leg, which is straight. He puts force down. And for me, this ticks the boxes for a red card. And I think why the VAR doesn't send the referee to the video review area, especially when Van Dijk was on a previous type of challenge in the fixture last season, for me, this is just over the top of the ball. Ball's not there for me. This is a danger, the safety of an Everton player.
What do you think Stevie's going to say, Mark?
Probably play on.
Stevie, I want to hear it too. Come on.
I've actually changed my mind.
Because Saturday you said yellow because it was you said he was stopped and it was side on.
I said because look, had he been sent off, I don't really think I would have had that much of an argument.
Right.
I just felt that there wasn't the aggression in it wasn't there. Mm. I didn't think it was a straight red. But the more I've seen it, I've actually changed my mind.
And no foul.
And he does catch him above his foot. He catches him at the bottom of his shin. I mean, you talk about there's not a lot of cover there. Mm. You know, that could easily have been way, way more serious than it turned out.
So you've gone red.
I would have to. Yeah, I've changed my mind and say that I think it was probably a red.
Mario?
Yeah, I think it had to be a red. Why? Because I got reds for this once. So, yeah, he should have got one because he was so late. And look, I was thinking like maybe if it was higher, it could have been worse. But even in the replay, if you look back at it, the kid is—he's lucky that he pulls his foot back, eh? Because if he goes all the way and he doesn't drag it back a little bit, oh my God! Look how his foot goes on the one after. You see how he pulls back? Ooh, he pulls back. Look. Oh my God, man. The kid is lucky that he pulls back.
Yeah.
Because, woo! Woo!
Shaq?
Yeah, that's
this
the right
is
card.
Not cute.
I have to admit, though, watching it in real time during the game, I thought yellow. When I saw the referee take out the yellow card, I thought that was the right decision. But the more replays I see, I think what I didn't initially first appreciate was how high up the shin that tackle first caught.
How much is the fact that it's Van Dijk play into the referee's assessment of that challenge, Mark, in that he's not that sort of player?
It's certainly, many players will say that I'm not that type of player when they commit that type of challenge. You take the challenge into account, you don't take the player. You look at the challenge, the ball's not being played, the ball's nowhere to be played. He's caught him on the bottom of the shin and come down. And for me, like Mario says, he's lucky that the Everton player pulls his foot back because this could have easily been a broken leg. And people would have been talking about this, that, you know, we've had another player having a broken leg. So we are lucky. But the VAR has all the angles. He has all the images. And I don't understand why he didn't send the referee to the video review area. Because on the pitch, like Shaka says, on the pitch, you think he stepped on the player's foot and maybe it's a yellow card. And that's what can happen on the pitch. But when you see the clear angles that we're all seeing, the VAR has to interfere.
Meanwhile, away from what happened in the Premier League, of course, the Champions League kicks off this week. And with it, this new semi-automated offside, Mark. Just take us through how quickly this is going to be able to be put into... Like, will it be like goal line technology? Will it be that instant?
Yeah, within a few seconds. And I think where the benefit this is going to be is when a player used to look across at the assistant referee kept his flag down, he went off and celebrated. We're going to only have 1 or 2 seconds. They're going to get an instant feedback to the watch. There's an offside, and therefore the assistant can raise his flag. The referee can disallow it within seconds. So therefore, the player will know instantly there's been an offside. And vice versa, if he's onside, we'll know within a few.
Perfect. Obviously, the technology works well with Mark and will work well in the Champions League. No problem whatsoever.
I think there'll be more controversy in the future because we'll still be talking about millimetres offside. You know, should he be onside? Are they going to use thicker lines? I just think all it'll do is allow players to celebrate quicker.
Hey, that's perfect. That's what we want.
In theory, yes, absolutely.
I'm just saying,
you'll get this decision in a second or two.
Brilliant.
But how long do you think it's going to be for somebody to come up with some angle and prove the technology wrong, that they got it wrong?
Well, they haven't with goal line technology. What?
I guarantee you.
Why are you being Mr. Negative about this?
I'm being realistic. I'm being somebody's got to be a realist.
But it works well in other sports, doesn't it?
Somebody's got to be the realist. That's
but
my
no, it's
job.
Not normally you, Shaq.
No.
The other Scots away. You don't have to be.
I've inherited the burly chair, so I'm like, I've got to be, you know, all negative about it.
Oh man! Finally, in the MLS, obviously, we spoke about this yesterday. This from the Red Bulls game. Drew Yearwood, who is already on a yellow card, gets the yellow card here before, and then kicks the ball in anger into the crowd. So yellow card for that, and then take that. And then he hits somebody in the stand, goes over to apologise, and they're like, no, we don't want your apology, you kick the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he's disappointed, he's off. Just take us through the laws of that, Mark.
If he's already had a yellow card, so if the referee deems this is not in a violent act, then he can easily issue a second yellow because it's aggression. I believe this is a direct red card because this player is out of control in a violent way. He's decided, like if you kick a ball against a player when the ball's finished and you kick it in this way against a fellow professional, you would instantly get a red card. So what's the difference if it's a spectator? And I'm pleased that they didn't accept his apology because this could have caused serious injury to a spectator. And I know you probably regret it now, 100%, but the act of doing this, it shows that they can easily injure somebody with this aggression.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't really feel sorry for him there, can you, Mario?
Now, you know, it's a moment, you know, like Mark said, you know, the emotions took control of him. Yeah, it's difficult for us, you know, like I'm not, talking the player up and saying like it's the right thing he did. He clearly didn't do the right thing because, you know, you got to pull your anger somewhere else. But the emotions got the better hand of him and then he hit the kid. If you ask him, did you want to hit the kid like that? Of course he will say, no, I don't want that, because that's not his attention. His attention is losing control and hitting the ball and just was, clearly stupidity.
Speaking of stupidity, last question to you, Mario. What was it like having Mark referee you back in the day?
Oh, man, Mark, man. You know what? I'm great. Now is my time. Finally. hey, listen. You know, sometimes I'm going to tell you guys, you know, you want to talk to a ref? And then the ref doesn't want you to talk. So then I go to Mark. I say, Mark, but listen, my friend, I have an armband on. I can talk to you. And Mark goes, no, Melchior, no, not now, not now. Carry on playing. Dude, who do you want to talk to you? Can I speak to you because or do you want someone else to talk to you?
Because I used to always listen to John Terry and I thought, not another captain at Chelsea Football Club having a go at this.
But Mark, wait, listen, sometimes we have to talk to you. Come on, allow us to have that little please. Communication. 1 second, only 1 second I need it.
Yeah, if you play for Newcastle United, you could add anything you want.
Okay, I'm telling you now, I'll be coming on your knocking on your door, I'll be saying, hey, you better make me something to eat, man, because if not, you have a problem.
Oh, this is like a brilliant therapy session. I like this a lot. Mario, we'll give you Mark's phone number and address after the show. Thank you very much, Mark. Just a reminder, not that Shaq can do it. This is his leading leg.
That's a boring hurdle.
Check out Extra Time over on our YouTube channel. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Interesting stuff from Kylian Mbappe with an interview this week. He talked about what happened with Pogba, but what really kind of stood out was this quote with his relationship with Neymar. "We've always had a relationship based on respect, but we've always had hotter and colder moments. There are periods where, as you see, we are best friends in the world, and other periods where we speak less. When you have two players with strong personalities like that, life isn't linear." Jules is with us. But I kind of want to go to the ex-pros first. Like, is this normal?
Well, again, you don't tell the truth. You say, him and I are good, and you walk away. You don't go into details, because all you're doing is opening yourself up.
Right.
And particularly...
So players would have falling out?
Of course they would. Listen, Dan, it's not just... You know, you see teams playing on a Saturday, right?
Yep.
Well, during the week, the competitive edge is still there in training. So there's always going to be disagreements, arguments. Now and again, there's pawn shops. Now and again, there's pushing and shoving and verbals. So, yeah, it happens all the time. But you don't tell anybody that.
I get that on the pitch, but it seems... we've discussed this a lot. When people fight you, like, that's normal. But kind of having this relationship where you're best friends off the pitch and then you're not best friends anymore and then you're back to being best friends, almost kind of schoolyard stuff. Is that common?
To the initial question about is that normal, what is normal about PSG to start with? Let's just get that out of the way. But I'm with Steve on this. You really have these relationships with your teammates that are up and down. I was, as Mbappe put it, hot and cold. Obviously, just kind of in a more serious tone, given the players and the club, it takes on a greater significance, being that it's Neymar and Mbappe that we're talking about. But that's kind of part and parcel. While I understand why it makes headlines,
yeah,
it's not that.
The up and down doesn't make sense.
Generally
in a dressing room, there are people you may not like them, but it's kind of the same all the time. It's not like you and I, one day we're all buddies and the next minute we're not talking to each other.
Right.
It doesn't happen. That's not normal.
That's my point. That's not normal.
Yeah. But here's the thing. As Stevie was saying, regardless of what those relationships are like, when you're a player, you know. Don't feed the headlines.
Right.
You just say, no, things are great.
We're
and
fine.
You know that.
Yeah.
So for someone to come out and say this, for someone as media accomplished as Kylian Mbappe, to come out and say this... it hints towards something a whole lot more.
Right.
So while what he says isn't uncommon in the game around dressing rooms, the fact that he's saying, I'm kind of thinking that it's a little bit more sinister than he's...
Oh, wow.
Well, maybe not sinister is not the right word, but it's a little bit deeper than he's suggesting.
Go on, Mario.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, because he opens the door up, and he opens the door up to something really dangerous. You know, when you're a young boy, especially because he's very young, but I mean, in his earlier times, he would not have said something like this, because now he opens the door up and allows us to feed off it, but he should have left it. Of course, the relationships are not great. Hey, come on, when we play football, we never have great relationship, because when the referee blows the whistle, you play with each other as teammates, but you all want to win, and whatever it takes, you have to make me win. And then afterwards, you're my best friend. Because then we just forget about the game. And in England, I'm telling you, I remember when I came to London, it was very tricky for me in the beginning, but I learned really quickly. On training, sometimes they kick you. And I had some players in my team, they could kick. And they will kick me on training. And sometimes I will get upset. But you can't show it, because this is what training is. You're a young boy. You just have to roll up your sleeves and let's work.
Jules, is there a sinister edge to this quote?
I don't think sinister is the word. I see what Chaka wanted to say. I just think that Mbappe is far too intelligent to just say something by mistake, or he's so ahead of the game, he wanted to come to the presser today before the Juventus game tomorrow because he wanted to talk. He knew that we were going to ask him about Neymar. He knew we were going to ask him about Pogba. He knew we were going to ask him about the Champions League and winning here, the project. He's present at the heart of the project, all of that. And I think he wanted it. And I think you have to remember that he never says anything just like that. Everything with him is so calculated. He always says it for a reason, for a purpose. So for me, that line on Neymar is very much like, okay, I'll tell you, this is... Because the boys are right. He could have just said, yeah, we're great friends. He's good, looking forward to his birthday in February, blah, 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 the party, etc. Or whatever he wanted to keep it calm and quiet. But instead, he went in on saying, like, yeah, you know, two strong personalities, two strong characters. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not so good. So kind of get used to it, and Neymar should know about it as well.
Jules, this is kind of an anomaly, isn't it? Players hate facing the press in general. They don't want to go out there. They won't put themselves out there. They don't want to answer these questions. So why would Mbappe put himself in a position that he doesn't even have to be in?
Because I think he wants to. It's not just a must telling the truth, but he wants to say, like, okay, this is what I have to say on this. I think this is important. After the press conference, he did an interview for French television, who's showing the game tomorrow. And the guy says to him, do you think that PSG are better armed this season to win the Champions League? And his body language, he just went like this in his head, like, and you knew what his point was going to make. And he made the point, like, it's like, well, it's not for me to answer what they did in the summer. But everything is calculated. So I think the line on Neymar was something he wanted out there on the headline or in the articles that I wrote for the website, for example, about it. And he knew exactly that Neymar would know about it, that people at the club would know about it, that the manager would know about it too. I think this is the way it works. We might agree or disagree. I think this is the way it works. And he does the same. He doesn't talk much, and doesn't talk very often, doesn't come to press conference every week, doesn't give a lot of interviews. But when he does, he makes sure that he knows exactly what he's going to say because, again, he's ahead of the game.
Well, he needs to keep his mouth shut and don't do interviews. I mean, you're just asking for trouble. All he's doing is causing trouble. And the fact, you know, I keep hearing everybody saying this guy's really smart, he's really intelligent. There's nothing intelligent about coming out and talking about, particularly Neymar, and causing trouble and stirring the pot. What is clever about that? Mm. And if I'm the manager, I'm thinking, oh, here we go. But what's all this about?
To Jules's point, I kind of see the value to it in that what PSG game on the weekend, Neymar takes a penalty and the discussion is about who's the number one taker. And just kind of recognizing who he is within that club, Kylian Mbappe, knowing that the Champions League is Champions League game is coming up, Juventus is coming up. If there's a penalty in that game, if nothing is said beforehand, whoever steps up, whether it's Neymar, whether it's Mbappe, whether it's Messi, or whether it's Donnarumma, there's going to be a discussion. There's going to be media talk about it. So by going out to the press beforehand, at least Kylian Mbappe, he's controlling the narrative. Whatever happens, if there's a penalty, whatever happens, he gets to set the tone on the narrative around that. And I thought he did a very good job in that respect. My criticism, though, is this: why feed into Neymar and I? Sometimes we're good, sometimes we aren't so good. That, for me, was a slight misstep.
Mario?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think. Look, he's a talented, we cannot doubt about it. Come on, if the kid wins that trophy, you understand? How young was he when he won the World Cup and got himself in positions that you clearly know that he is? To have a character like this makes you what he is right now. He's a big character, big player, and that's why he stepped up, just to ease things down in the team. But, yeah, we can jump high and low, and I understand what Lauren said as well. But as players, we always know, we say what works well for us. And I don't think lifting that up would work well for him. The other stuff, yeah, I do agree. He had to say that, hey, when the penalty comes up, he says that, well, whoever feels good. But at the end of the day, when he wants to score, he's going to grab the ball and kick the penalty.
How has this all been received from PSG perspective, Jules?
Not bad. I mean, their point, I think, which sums up well the conversation we're having now, is that, okay, after the Montpellier incident, you know, with the penalty gate, all of that, even on the show, all we were talking about is like, okay, they hate each other, don't they, Jules? You asked me the question, did he really want him out? Or did he want this? And what's the relationship like? Well, Killian answered the question that we had. So now every time if there's more problems or more penalty gets whatever, we will know, okay, this is the truth. Sometimes they get on, sometimes they don't get on. Sometimes, like Killian said in his press conference today as well, he said we have to share the cake. So when there's a penalty, we will see who feels it and then who takes it. And I don't think anyone knows who will be the next penalty taker. It could be Sergio Ramos, it could be Messi, it could be Neymar, it could be Mbappe, it could be Donnarumma, like Shaka just said. But I think his answer was also to answer all those questions about their relationship that we've been asking. And instead of me telling you what I'm hearing from within the camp or someone else doing so, at least now we've got the answer from him. And I think that's certainly the spin that PSG were trying to put on it.
Meanwhile, away from PSG, the big news, of course, coming out of France is that Paul Pogba will undergo an operation which makes him very, very questionable as to whether or not he'll play in the World Cup. Allegri was asked about it, said, "I don't know if he'll play in the World Cup, but it's not my problem. I know he'll be back in January for Juventus." What's the latest, Jules?
The latest is that the World Cup is in 73 days and now the surgery had happened tonight and it went well. But now the recovery time is between 40 and 60 days, depending on how your body receives it, how your knee reacts to it. It could be 40 days, which then obviously would leave him 33 days to the World Cup. It could also be 60, maybe even more for all we know. And then obviously there's much less days before the World Cup. So right now it looks quite unlikely, let's be honest here, for him to go to the World Cup and be ready to play highly competitive games at a World Cup for the reigning champions. But I guess anything is possible, but we just need to go back to August when he took the decision to not get the surgery back then and try to get his rehabilitation with no surgery that would only take 5 weeks, and then he could be back in October to be fit for the World Cup. Well, the backlash was pretty bad, because if he had done the surgery back in August, he would be getting ready to go back now, and we would not be talking about this. Now it's a huge blow for him, especially after all the off-field situation as well and incidents.
You take a look at how things stand according to the bookies going into that. Was it 73 days, you said, Jules, at the start of the World Cup? Brazil, favourites. England, of course, the second favourites ahead of France. France coming in third favourites. How does the absence of Paul Pogba affect that and affect the defence of their title, Jules?
It's a big blow, because if he's the 2018 Paul Pogba, he's obviously so important for this team, his relationship with Conte. And when you think that now we've got currently neither of them fit, it has to be a worry for Deschamps. I don't know you would expect Conte to come back at some point between now and November, but for all we know, he might get injured again, because he's so injury prone lately. So in Tchouaméni, you've got already the Pogba replacement that I guess Deschamps would pick, and it's not a bad replacement at all, especially the form that he is now. And him and Conte could have a really good partnership for France in the World Cup. But what if you also lose Conte and you've got neither Pogba or Conte in Qatar? Then it's Tchouaméni and someone else with their other options, the likes of Rabiot, for example, of course, or even some more youngsters coming through like Fofana, Monaco. Those are possibilities, but losing one would be bad for Deschamps, and that, well, should be Pogba. And then now he's praying and fingers crossed for Kante to be fit, at least for Qatar.
Meanwhile, late breaking transfer news, Diego Costa could be on his way to Wolves. He has a medical on Tuesday. Obviously, we know the success that he's had at both Atleti and Chelsea. How old is he, Jules, these days? I meant to look that up before. How old is he? 33, so still
34.
Something to offer, Jules?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we see since he left Chelsea in 2017, he's had more yellow cards, 17, than gold, 16, in his career. So, I mean, this is fascinating for me. I can't wait to see him back in the Premier League, because I think if there's one thing that with age would have gone worse for him, is that aggressivity and the temper and everything. So he's going to go for a fight even more than before, because he's obviously slower and not as good as he was 5, 4, 3 years ago even. So this should be fun.
Mario?
But you know, like some players, I'm telling you, some players need that fire. And I think Costa is identical to that. I agree with you, like, I love it when you said that 60 yellow cards and 60 gold. But the key thing for him, I think a Costa without fire, you might as well not take him. You might as well just leave him for where he is, because he's not going to be a good player then.
That's an old fire, though, Mario.
Yeah, but you need... hey, whatever, how old he is, they want it. So they have seen the stats. The key thing for him, can he still move the way he wants to move? If he can't do that, yeah, that's very old fire then.
Someone's getting kicked. Someone's getting kicked a lot, whether they like it or not. Thank you very much, Jules. A lot more from Jules on the Gab and Jules podcast. The latest edition is available now over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It was quite the weekend, wasn't it, in the Premier League? Plenty of goals that we enjoyed, with the exception of the Merseyside derby. Of course, the reason really we're bringing everything up is to reflect on what happened at Old Trafford with Manchester United, that 3-1 victory over Arsenal. Arsenal perfect going into that time. It's the first time that Stevie Nicol really has had the opportunity to reflect, gloat, whatever word you want to use to describe your reflections on what we saw.
No, well, as soon as the final whistle went, the only person I wanted to speak to was you.
Yeah, well, isn't that what a beautiful moment? Just the love between us.
Listen, Arsenal played well in the game.
Right.
I think they were unfortunate. You know, the goals, particularly the first two goals that United got, were, for me, right when Arsenal looked as though they were the team that were going to go and take the game. So they were unfortunate that the timing of the goals they lost... But 3-1 doesn't look great, and it would be too easy for me to turn around and say, well, here we go, this is the first test, and they've failed it. But they'll feel a little unfortunate, and they probably were unfortunate.
Right.
But guess what? We can't change the scoreline.
No, we can't.
It says 3-1.
So the manner of the defeat, does it make you change your mind slightly with regards to nothing's changed from last season?
Yeah, of course it does. Listen, absolutely, they'll be fine for the top four.
Right.
You look at what's going on at Chelsea right now.
Yeah.
And you have to think that Arsenal are in better shape than Chelsea. And Chelsea were one of the sides that I thought would finish ahead of Arsenal. So you'd have to say they're in pole position for that fourth spot right now.
Arsenal in pole position for a top four place. What did you make of the game, Mario?
No, I definitely, you know, this was one of the games that, of course, you know, you knew what Arsenal was going to bring. I think Man U prepped really well. I think Ten Hag, his job is what he's working on, is that you could see it on the field. You know, the third man running was one of the tactical moves that he did. I mean, the connection between Eriksen and Bruno was incredible. But not only that the connection between Eriksen and Fernandes was good, it was also the timing. If you see how they broke the line of Arsenal, that normally, it happens, but it doesn't happen like that. They slide through it, you know, with Rashford, and the way he went through it, it was just, you know, like Eriksen when he put Rashford up. I felt like this was watching Ajax, where they work on like the whole season sometimes, we will work on it. And you clearly could see some movement in it. I don't want to say like, now everything is done and it works again. No, I think it was just a good start to see where this team can head to. And that we saw in Man United.
Mary, you had that 4-month holiday, so it's difficult for us to catch up about Antony and how highly you rate him. Obviously, his first game for United, scores that goal, big price tag on his back, didn't seem to bother him. How much do you like him?
I like him a lot. The only thing is what is different, you know, Brazilians, technical skills, He will take people on. We haven't seen as much against Arsenal. I think he will do more of that. But really go at you. He's good at that. He has a skill. He will take a risk. But the only thing is sometimes, can he make sure that he stays fit and produce more than he had even produced at Ajax? Because Ajax, I think sometimes he played well, but we would like to see more goals of him.
Meanwhile, let's just take a look at how the Premier League stands. That win for Manchester United, of course, lifting up to fifth in the table. Arsenal are still top, 1 point clear of Manchester City, who are five ahead of Chelsea, sitting in sixth. Chelsea getting it done. Obviously, we discussed that already in the show, controversy against West Ham. But I tell you what, Mary, if I'm a Chelsea supporter, I'm a bit concerned about what I've seen so far this season.
Yeah, but I feel like they still got a moment to understand too clearly. Look, we also have to give Tuchel a compliment in the sense of what has been going on and him then be able to make a team out of the situation where he's been in. That's the only thing I say. Look, are they going to produce the same, you understand, what they had done a while ago when he took over? I think that's maybe going to be tricky because I don't think this was Chelsea's market. Regardless of the players that they got, I always said that this was not the moment because you could clearly see how many players didn't want to join Chelsea. Did that happen before? Okay, of course, you get one, maybe maximum two. Now we had a bigger package, and I think that was a big surprise for them.
How much trouble are they in, Stevie?
Well, you have to question top four. You know, at the end of the day, when the season kicked off, I don't think people at Chelsea are thinking they're going to win the Premier League because they know they're behind City in particular. But right now, the only thing on their mind will be top four because it's a disaster for Chelsea if they don't get in the top four. And right now, you don't know what you're getting from Chelsea from game to game.
They're just so flat, Jack. Yeah. There's just no spark. It's not fun.
If you're Chelsea or a Chelsea supporter and you see that table with Chelsea sitting 6 on 10 points, you are absolutely delighted because nothing about their football has suggested top half of the table, let alone top four. We've discussed the controversy with the West Ham goal. Okay, let's say that could have gone anyway. Leicester had a goal disallowed, Harvey Barnes, on Edouard Mendy. That could have gone a different way. And or now all of a sudden, if those two games are draws, you have a Chelsea sitting on sixth. And that is a far more realistic position for them. And or sitting on 6 points, I should say. And that's a far more realistic position in that their football has been that decidedly poor. I have sat here and been very critical of Leicester City and have said that they are in a relegation fight, that they are in real trouble. And they match Chelsea. But for that disallowed goal, we could be having a very different discussion about Chelsea and Leicester. That's how poor Chelsea have been.
Let's see where Mario has them in his predictions. Of course, we can get the chance to get him before... Mario, goodness me, you're like 100 years old in that picture.
listen. But you know, you know what happens? When you get this age, it looks better, my friend.
Yeah, most definitely. Look at you. Stevie's aged horribly. You're great. You've done well. City, Liverpool, Spurs, and you've got Chelsea just ahead of Arsenal in the top four. Is that just purely because you're of allegiance to them?
I 100% agree with you. You know, sometimes you also got to be honest, guys. Look, you cannot always... But listen, yes. Arsenal is doing great. Stevie mentioned it. Fourth place is a great journey. Xhaka said that too. Yes, it's a great journey, and I would love them to get there. But be honest, if Chelsea doesn't even make it to Europe or just slightly get into UEFA, they should be happy for this season. And I know people will say, like, oh, why? I said, because you got to make a team out of what you have there. Right? That's why I'm saying it. I'm not saying because
Mario,
I don't want Chelsea to
they've spent more money than anybody else. You can't say, oh, just got to get into Europe. That's fine.
Yeah, but it's not about what you spend. Look, sometimes you spend desperately. I didn't feel like Chelsea was spending always tactically. They started going after players sometimes where I went like, whoa, easy now. Come on, how many times the door got shut for them? That is already the count. It was one of the reasons that they had to realize to say like, okay, how are we going to do it? They changed everything at the club. Eh? They got new people in. Some people that were working there for a long time, they took over. So that's why I'm saying they got to steady the ship again and then start doing what they want to do.
Mario will be back with us for extra time. Meanwhile, the Champions League kicks off, doesn't it? Tomorrow, we'll be reflecting on some of those big games. Chelsea, of course, will be in action as well. So be sure to join us.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Now let's take Q3, shall we? Italy's results. Atalanta, top of the table now after that 2-0 victory away against Monza. Torino, meanwhile, with a 1-0 victory over Lecce. It finished 2-2, meanwhile, in the other tie. Let's just take a look then at how it stands and confirmation there. Atalanta, two clear of Napoli at the top of the table with 11 points for defending champions AC Milan. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Mark and Jules for being with us. Mario, though, returns with Shaka and Stevie to answer your questions for extra time.
Hey, by the way.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Yes, Stevie.
Can I just say, you know, on the show when they were. We had a quote from Allegri.
Yes.
How horrible was that?
Well, yeah.
He said, I couldn't care less.
Well, he said,
nothing to do with
nothing
me.
Nothing to do with me.
Well, he said, it's not his problem. Yeah, this is the news.
I mean, your players just had a knee operation.
Yeah.
I mean, surely you've got a little bit of sympathy.
Maybe that was
for
just
them.
The soundbite they chose. Maybe it was a little more sympathetic.
Imagine if an international manager.
Problem.
Said that about his player going back to a club. Well, I don't care.
Hey,
I don't
not
care
my
if the guy
problem.
Injured any
World Cup. This has haunted you, Stevie. That was quite a while ago back in the show.
He's not been able to.
Mario is here with us for the first
Mario.
Time in a long time.
I played at the same time as Mario.
Oh, do you know what, Shaka? It's interesting you bring that up because we found a photo of you and Mario in the same game.
Ah!
Hold on, let me guess.
I wonder what just happened there.
Let me guess.
I just made an incredible save. That's what it
is. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank
we are
scored.
Celebrating.
Oh, goodness me.
Thanks a lot. Somebody going to help me.
I know. What's interesting, Mario, is that when we talk about players, Shaka says that Hasselbank was a really nice guy off the pitch.
Yeah.
But once he crossed the line, he just got a completely different persona.
Now, we just literally talked about the situation with Neymar and Mbappe. Jimmy was identical to that. In the game, when the referee blew the whistle, I had the biggest argument with him. But he was my closest pal at Chelsea. After the game, hey, what are we doing? Let's go eat. No. But on the game, oh my God. After 1 minute, he starts swearing already. So I swear back. So we always had a row going on, and then people would look at us and say like, and then you speak Dutch, so people looking at you like, what are these guys talking about? But they clearly could see that I was upset and Jimmy was upset. So we were swearing at each other, and then after the game we go, hey, okay, where are we going tonight? Let's go eat, man, let's go eat. Yeah.
That's how
it is.
Jimmy, incredible guy off the field.
Right.
But kind of going back to that, Bowen, Mendy, where I say he's leaving a little bit on him. If that was Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, I would have been black and blue in about 6 spots. And he'd have been, I didn't do anything.
Really?
He would have left it on me. What Bowen did there was tame. Jimmy would leave it on you.
So it's no foul for both.
Oh, yeah.
if Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank is the measuring stick, That wasn't a foul. That was a cuddle.
I've got to tell you, I played with a guy called, a guy nobody will know. His name was Danny Masterton.
Okay.
And I'll tell you how bad it was. Whenever he was running towards the goalkeeper, the crowd looked away.
Oh, no. Because they knew the goalkeeper.
Everybody knew it was coming. The only person that didn't figure it out was the goalie.
Oh, no.
It's everybody on the field and in the stand were all going, oh, no. One of them.
The year we got to the FA Cup final, 2006, we played, I think Jimmy was playing for Middlesbrough at the time. We played Middlesbrough at Villa Park in the semi-final. And somebody tries to clip a ball over the top. And I thought it was going to drop right inside the box. In the end, it was dropping a little bit short, so I'm realizing I'm going to have to head this. But Jimmy's running in, and Jimmy realizes that, oh, this Shaka's going to be exposed here. Honestly, I looked at Jimmy, he looked at me, his eyes just lit up, and I know I have to go for the header. And he just runs full speed, turns his back, but into my chest, I am flat out on the floor for about 5 minutes. That was Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink in one play.
Wow.
And he would just, when you played against Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink, you knew where you were in a game because he was physical and he would beat you up, but he was good. Oh. Goodness me, he was a striker.
Mario, was he like that in training as well?
Yeah, man. I remember, like, I had a problem with my ankle one time. And I was just coming back into the team. Jimmy hit the ball so hard, I tried to stop it with my foot, and I went through my ankle again. I was injured again. I understand exactly what he's talking about. Chaka, you know, like, even my eyes, like here, I got stitches on the left and the right. And when I came to England, I remember jumping up, and I'm sure, like, Steve can also relate to it. You got to protect yourself when you jump up. But if you're a boy, you come from Amsterdam, you think, oh, the Eredivisie is nice and cute. But when you come in England, you got to protect yourself. So Jimmy used to really have a go at me. Are you ever going to learn how to jump with your elbows up? Are you always going to jump up and then get your eyes smashed? And I said, like, yeah, but Jimmy, this is football. He said, no, this is different kind of football. Protect yourself. Oh, my God. Crazy guy.
Yes. Brilliant. I love it. Away from Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink, Shaka, given your conversation with Craig last night, they had a bit of an argument last night, which included Craig going, blah, 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 blah. So Shaka did well not to punch him. Do outfield players understand anything at all about goalkeeping?
About as much as I understand about outfield players. Let me put it that way. I sympathise with the goalkeeper more times than not, just because I have been there and I know the kind of hardships of it. I know how thin the margins are. I would say the margins are far thinner for a goalkeeper than an outfield player in terms of mistakes and being praised or being hated on. And in this incident, as I said, I what Bowen did there, I have had done to me more times than I care to count.
45 minutes, wasn't it, Stevie, you played in goal?
I was just thinking about it. You know, the one thing I would say that I realised, or I felt afterwards thinking about it, I felt as though I was alone.
Right.
Mm. I just felt exposed and thinking about, if I make a mistake here, we're done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's done. You're over.
Yeah,
I mean, when you're on the field, there's somehow some sort of, you feel you've got a little protective coat because you've got another 9 guys around you. But when you're standing in goal, it's like, I'm alone here.
Right.
It's the strangest thing. It's definitely, it's a completely different position. Mm-hmm.
Mario, who's the best goalkeeper that you played with?
Edwin van der Sar, probably.
Yeah.
He was the best, you know, but I always say that Chaka can actually answer that to me. I always felt like you guys were so sensitive. When I take your ball away, you could kill us sometimes. You know, like you grab a ball from you guys, like you know, you go like, hey, don't touch my ball, you have balls there. Why are you touching my ball? Oh, van der Sar was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
My God, brother. You guys are sensitive. Like, you know, you got a bag for yourself, you got 10 balls, we got a bag for us and we got 10 balls. But I want to grab one ball of you. I say, come on, Shaka, let's kick the ball. And you look at me, you give me that look like, why are you touching my balls? Stay away, grab your own balls. Oh my God.
That's the truth. Right. You know what? Right. It's because.
Anyone tuning in right
why?
Now.
Right. Why?
It's because keepers are always the ones who are forgotten about. So now you get to a professional level. Oh, I didn't level.
No one away went.
So when you're training, we get our balls together, right? This is ours.
Right.
We've got 5 or 6. You've got 20. But somehow, your 20 balls is never enough. You always have to come over and take our balls.
Stevie's laughing because he knows it as well.
Because what we used to do is when the goalie'd get the balls out, right?
Yeah.
Which was at the end. I mean, it was the end of the 80s because we didn't have a goalkeeper coach. But eventually, Big Joe, what Ronnie would do is we'd run round where the goalies were warming up. And Big Joe would have put the balls out on either side. So it would be like 7 or 8 balls, And Ronnie would make us run past them because he knew we'd all kick them.
You see?
So as we're running past, we'd put the balls. So then he'd have to go pick them all up again.
You see what I mean?
We did it on purpose because you guys are so sensitive.
You know what I mean? I'm getting all angry again. Like, I'm getting all angry.
I didn't think even you would care about this.
Oh, yeah, I care.
Wow.
A lot.
Chipping the goalies as well.
Oh, don't even start with that.
Yeah, chip a goalie.
Don't even start with that. Oh, God.
Shaka, have you ever faked an injury in order to get a call like Mendy did?
Nah.
No?
Not I can recall.
No.
There's one time, so I was thinking about this the other day, so this had to be like third or fourth professional game. I remember we were away to Brentford, obviously playing for Reading, my third game. And this guy came in and two-footed me, but he didn't catch me clean. But somebody was down and the physio was right there, and the physio goes, go down on the... And I'm brand new in the game. So I just go down, crowd went absolutely ballistic.
That'd be brilliant. I'd love to see a video of that.
But like I say, I'm new, the physio was there, he said go down. I'm like, all right, so I just fall down.
And then everyone's just abusing.
Oh, I know, the amount of abuse. But I don't recall kind of faking an injury like that.
Mario, it seems like a lot of Manchester United signings this summer were for the future, but they spent £70 million on Casemiro, who is 30 and hasn't played much yet. Why?
Why? Because I think Ten Hag knows that he has to perform now. He has no time to wait. And that's why I think he put players in that have to be actively performing now. Casemiro, of course, is going to be a new league, a new situation, everything for him. But normally, if you look at Casemiro, this is the guy that clearly won the Champions League. It's not the easiest competition. He won the league at home. And that's why I come to England. Now, he expects him to perform, even if he doesn't let him start straight away. But eventually, this will be, it has to be his guy.
Why isn't he playing? Is it just a matter of time?
Teams are winning because the team's winning.
Everything's fine.
I like that because, again, I keep saying I question whether Ten Hag can make the big decisions as needed. But he's stuck with the team that's played well. He's stuck with the team that's won. And I like that.
And while you're winning, you can get away with not playing them.
Right.
If you're not winning and you paid £70 million, then somebody's going to go, hold on a second, why'd you bring this guy in?
Mario, which member of Ajax's 2019 Champions League semi-finalist team has been the most disappointing since they got a move? De Jong, Ziyech, De Ligt, or Donny van de Beek? They've not lived up to the expectations.
No, I don't. Look, the one that I would say that didn't get the chance, I don't want to say he did not live up to it, because Donny is a guy that plays football and he is really unselfish. The problem is that he doesn't play. And all the other guys that you clearly said, okay, Ziyech doesn't play a lot, but he plays clearly more than Donny. De Jong plays, great player. De Ligt plays, great player, because they play. But if you don't play, we cannot really judge you. So I will say the disappointment will go only because he doesn't play. And is there a reason for that? Yeah, I mean, clearly, if you're not up to the level, then maybe the coach won't pick you. But now he's got a Dutch coach, so he has to work harder to get himself in the team. That's Donny.
Final question. Can Stevie give me a list of go-to foods and drinks for an end-of-season summer bash? Looking to keep it simple, yet elegant.
Elegant? Ooh, I'm not sure elegant.
You can do this simple.
Simple's
easy.
So what's the simple?
Oh, pizza.
Pizza!
Doesn't get any more simple than
that. Oh, very nice, yeah? I think I wouldn't expect you to get a pizza. Do you eat pizza?
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
What if I had a base and then sort of shepherd's pie topping on top of the pizza?
Well, a roast dinner.
You know what? At my son's wedding...
Yes?
His in-laws... So they had... The do afterwards, they had a little break for some food, right? So it wasn't a sit down, but it was just a help yourself.
Okay.
And buffet. They had made mince and potatoes.
Mm.
And what it did was you got like a little flute. Well, not a flute, it was bigger than a flute.
Right.
And you put the mince and the potatoes in the flute.
I see.
And then you just had a spoon and ate
it. That is elegant.
And simple.
Yes.
And simple, yeah.
Beautiful. There you are then, Mark McNall.
And everybody loved it. They were all going, what a great idea this is. Who thought of mince and ties?
How many did you have?
Oof.
Many a flute.
More than my fair share.
Yes.
Many a flute for Stephen.
Trombone-like. Thank you very much. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Champions League then back tomorrow. Some big games. I can't remember any of them, but I'm sure they're big and important.
Somebody's playing.
Someone's playing.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.